Welcome to On Purpose with Paul Peters. Today we're uncovering the passions, principles, and divine guidance that leads to a meaningful life. You're watching Now Media Television. And David said, remember, he's 17 years old. He's going to go up against a trained warrior who is 9 feet tall. And King Saul basically says, well, if you're going to do that, you need some armor. Well, David was not a man. He was a boy, and the armor didn't fit him. So he basically went out with whatever he had on. He grabbed some stones. He had a slingshot, and he went and confronted Goliath and basically said, how dare you blaspheme the God, my father, creator? And he ran towards Goliath with his slingshot, and in one shot, he killed Goliath. Then he took Goliath's sword and cut his head off, and he took it back to the Israelite nation. David's courage that was instilled by God then rallied the troops, and the Israelites were able to defeat the Philistines. So I say that, not that we're going to go on and go to battle, and some are called to do that. I myself was in the military for 8 years. But what I'm saying is, when we are so clear on what we're called to do, and in this moment in David's life, he was very focused on his relationship with God. Another passage says he was a man after God's own heart, which was conditional to Jeremiah 29. If you seek me, there's other passages that says, if you seek me, you will find me. And David did. He had a love relationship with God, and God gave him the power, the courage, the ability to defeat the enemy. And when that happened, he was adored by all of the Israelites. Well, Saul got jealous, and he actually ended up trying to pursue David and kill David. And because of David's faithful responses and his character not to do anything against God's will, God's purpose for David, David ultimately became king, and Saul was murdered in battle, and he was anointed king. And it was many years later from the initial anointing when he was called that he became king. My point being is, as we are tested in our lives and we come forth as gold, and I use the term gold because there is a refining process when you are trying to bring out the impurities within the gold. So it is a pure. And when I say pure, you look in the gold and you see your own face. And when we understand that God's desire is that we be of good and strong character, because it's out of the character that we are able to lead men and women. And when we have a character and a desire to please God, he's going to put us in positions where we can be of authority, we can be leaders, we can help other people in service. When we have God's heart to love and be of mercy, then he can use us to make a difference in our world. And so when we understand David's purpose, and as I said before, David had served God's purpose in his own generation. That is God's desire. We wonder, why am I here in this moment? You're here for a purpose. And God's going to reveal that purpose to you, and he's going to show you. And how he shows you often will be the very choices that you make, the family that you're raised in, the schools that you go to. And it's as you go through life and you begin to understand why certain things are happening to you, not from a, I'm not going to take responsibility, not from a, I'm the victim. It's from taking responsibility like I did when I finally got to a point of absolute surrender, and I recognized the choices that I had made to drink, to get into a car accident that almost killed me, to ultimately wanting to take my own life. Those are choices that I had made. And when I took responsibility and I began to mature as an adult and understand what God was doing through my choices, and I don't know if y'all remember the story of the prodigal son. It's a very simple story. This man, it was actually symbolic of God, had two children, two male children. One of them wanted his inheritance before. Normally, the inheritance came after the father passed away. And he wanted his inheritance. The father gave it to him. He ended up going out and spoiling all of his money. And he came back begging for forgiveness and says, he said, Father, I don't deserve to come back. Will you just take me back as a slave? And of course, the father embraced him and put him back into the family and restored him as his son. And so God will allow us to be that prodigal child, allow us to make the choices, but will always welcome us back, because ultimately God's desire is we learn the lessons from our choices. Because the prodigal son's purpose was not to go out and spend that money. The purpose was to learn from the mistake so he can come back humbled and be used by God so that he can understand the power of love and the power of forgiveness. And God wants to use that message so that we can help other people. And so in our own story, we learn valuable lessons. For me, as I've shared with you before, I went through a lot of tragedy, had some difficulties growing up in a dysfunctional home. I don't say that as a victim. I say that as someone who, that's the reality of life. Many of us have gone through challenges. And does it make it a little bit harder than those that are raised in a loving home? Yeah. But ultimately, God allows those things because he ultimately knows what we're going to do with our life. And he asks that we obey because we can take those experiences and we can help other people. And so I want to take you through some of the things that I have discovered in regards to how I found my purpose. So you can do it by observing someone else's journey through mentorship. I myself, not having a dad, there were certain people that came into my life that mentored me through different aspects of my life. It's as if I kind of liken it to bumpers there. They were put in my life to help me not do anything worse than I had already done. There were people that in church, people in school. And so I'm just very thankful for those mentors. And I didn't know they were mentors at the time. I just very needy for somebody who could love me. And often when we watch someone's journey, that doesn't necessarily mean that person is currently living. We all have gained wisdom from the life of Abraham Lincoln or George Washington or Mother Teresa. Many of those are examples of the kind of life we want to live. And it's easy for us when we look back and look at those lives, and there's so many more I could list, and say, oh my gosh, they lived their purpose. How did they do that? I would encourage you, I could spend hours in going through different aspects of people like an Abraham Lincoln or Mother Teresa or Martin Luther King. And most of them, if not every one of them, came to their purpose through the trials and the tribulations and the challenges that they faced. And it's in the overcoming of those challenges that they rose to a position where they were usable by God to serve. And that's exactly what God wants. He doesn't necessarily want us to go through those challenges, but he understands and knows, like I said before, that refining process has to occur. We have to get out of the way. Because going back to what I said in Acts 13:36, David served God's purposes, not his own. When we serve our purpose, because the innate selfishness within us, we will not necessarily take into consideration how others feel and what's most important in serving other people. And when we serve God's purpose, it's always about service to other people. And it's very important when we're mentored or we're challenged or we watch or follow someone else's path, we learn the lessons that they learned. Because often for myself, and I've shared this with you all before, my purpose is in helping other people find their purpose. Because I believe as more people are awakened to the reality of how and why God created them, they can begin to work together. The puzzle piece of one person's life will be connected to a puzzle piece of another person's life. And the two of them can do much more and greater things. When you see collaboration within a community, I see it here in Livingston College. When you see different gifts and different talents, remember what I said before, you have people with strengths and you have people with limitations. Not everybody has the same strengths, not everybody has the same limitations. But when a strength matches a limitation, you have equality. You have collaboration that makes a difference in the community, that breaks down barriers, that breaks down walls. And that's really why that's so important that we learn from each other. We put away any fears, any discriminations, so that we can begin to work together for the betterment of our community, for the betterment of our society and our families. And so when we are following somebody else's path or being mentored by them, their ultimate goal really is to help us not to make the same mistakes. Because not every one of us should have to learn through mistakes. If we can take the wisdom from somebody else who's gone down that path, I kind of like, and I think I use this in the story in my book. When there is a bridge out and you were the first person to approach that bridge and you basically turn around and you don't warn anybody, you've not applied the wisdom in helping other people. But if you have a kind, compassionate heart and you stop your car and you get out and you wave so that another person doesn't go over that, into the water or get killed, you are applying wisdom to something that you've learned and you're helping another person. And that's what happens when you begin to find your purpose and you begin to show other people, this is how I found my purpose. I'm not sure that's necessarily your purpose, but these are the steps that I took. The other thing you can do is learn from your family. There's certain things passed down in our genes from our families. And some of those things are good things. Some of those things are not good things. For me, I did not have a very good father growing up. I barely knew him. He was abusive. He was alcoholic. And as a child growing up without a father, I recognized how important it was. My number one goal in life is to be the best father I can be. It's not to make $1 million. It's not to have a wonderful, all these great possessions. It's not to have the best company in the world. It is to be the best father that I can be, because that was deprived of me. And so I took something bad and I choose to make something better from it, and then change the lives of my children so that they then are modeled what a good father is, so that they can be a good father to their children. And so it's very important that we learn from our family and the journey that we've taken. I've talked about passions. Passions are what excites us. Some people have a passion to write. Some people have a passion to draw. Some people have a passion to paint music. David has had a passion for music, and he used that and was greatly honored and blessed for it. We also have our natural gifts and talents. Those are things that are given to us. Some people are just naturally talented with music or art. You have what is called your unique ability. It's directly connected to your purpose. And your unique ability, it's a term that I got from Strategic Coach, is something unique about you. It's almost like a compilation of your gifts, talents, strengths, and it's also your passions. And so you have to find out your unique ability. And the way you do that is you pretty much list everything that you do in a day or everything you do in a week. And then you begin to categorize that. What is it that you do every day that you love to do? And you begin to set that in the category of what it would be closely considered as unique.
Right back with more stories and insights to help you discover your calling and live with purpose. This is On Purpose with Paul Peters on Now Media Television. I'm Paul Peters, and you're watching On Purpose with Paul Peters on Now Media Television. Let's continue the journey towards your best life.
You're asking, as you've watched the show and seen people interview and discovered that they had found their purpose, many of you are like, well, what is my purpose and how do I find my purpose? I've introduced before the book that I had, my first book, it's called Discovering and Embracing Your Life Purpose. And on this is a man searching for his dream. And as you walk along the path, you see there's different puzzle pieces. And what I have discovered in the puzzle pieces, those are things that come along in our life that reveal aspects of our purpose. And we're going to take a look and find out what some of those are, because much like clues, we get enough clues or puzzle pieces, we're able to put the puzzle pieces together to create the picture of what our life is to be. And it's a beautiful life. Every one of us was created to have a beautiful life. So I want us to take a deeper dive. I want us to take a look. I have in front of me the outline of the book that I wrote so that we can take a look at some of the things that I discovered when I looked at and tried to have a deeper understanding of my purpose. So the book starts out, much like the interviews that we've done, with a story. A man named Tim. Some of it is part of my life. Some of it is people that I interviewed, people that I counseled, who had struggled to try to figure out what they were created for and what they're here for. In Tim's story, he basically was the youngest of six, much like myself, had some childhood challenges. His parents had gotten divorced. His mom was a domestic violent victim. Tim would be diagnosed or determined as an at-risk child. Tim struggled with insecurity. Tim struggled with addiction. And at one point in Tim's life, he had wanted to take his own life. And in that journey, Tim began to find what his purpose was. And it wasn't revealed right away. It was bit by bit. And it was as Tim was broken down that God began to reveal in the pain, in the trials, in the struggles, what he was to do. And as he began to see some of those things that God was revealing, Tim began to surrender. Tim began to be obedient to what that calling was. And Tim began to serve in what he determined as his purpose. And so when we look at some of the journey that we all take, I first asked, why are we here?
That is a question we all ask ourselves. Why are we here? There has to be a reason. We're not just here for no reason. And when we ask that question, as I've said before, it's in asking the question that the answers are to be revealed. So then we took a look at what is purpose and how does that relate to us? Purpose is all about finding what the reason that person or something or someone was created for and created to do. And then we begin to search for the answers, because when we ask that question, we have to get the answers. And so when we begin to ask the questions, we ask God or we ask other people, those answers begin to be revealed. So then I basically took a deeper look and I said, what life experiences have come into our life that begin to reveal some of the things that I believe God was doing? God works behind the scenes, per se, in our life choices to bring us to a point of surrender. In that point of surrender, when He has our attention, He begins to reveal what He's doing and why He allowed certain things to occur. Each and every one of us has certain strengths. What unfortunately we do is, much like Tim, we focus on our weaknesses because of our insecurity and we don't highlight the strengths. I have a firm belief that God gives us our strengths and He also gives us our limitations or our weakness. And the reason He does that is because He knows that we need one another. We help one another in our strengths, and someone else who has strengths that we do not help us in our limitations. And it's how we create harmony, how we create unity, how we break down aspects of pride and arrogance. And when we can understand that our purpose is directly connected to our strengths, we can begin to put more emphasis on our strengths and using them to serve others. Another thing is discovering your passions. Each and every one of us has certain things that I would call lights our fire. Those are the passions. Sometimes we've lost our passions because we've fallen into a rut, or we've just not doing the things that we enjoy because we have to, because we've got to pay bills or certain things. And often the children, our little child within us, knows what those passions are. So sometimes we have to get back into our childlike nature and we have to discover what those passions are. Another thing that I've discovered, because we are innately created to love one another, and it's really having a deeper understanding, is how do you feel loved? And there's an assessment called the love language, and there's aspects that we're gonna go into of how you feel loved, and also how do others feel loved? Because too often we try to give the love that we want to other people, but they may have a different way of feeling that love. And then we're gonna look in aspects of temperament, which would be another way of saying personality. And that basically is how we behave, how we relate to one another. And there's also personality type and personality style, your gifts, your talents, your spiritual gifts. There's a lot of puzzle pieces that we're going to put together. But what I've discovered in my own life, as I began to understand these certain things that make up who Paul Peters is, and I put them together, I begin to understand the answer to the question, why am I here? And ultimately, I found I'm here to serve other people. And as we go in more, we look at certain things. There's a term I'm going to teach you called Ikigai, and it's actually a term that basically helps us discover our purpose. We're going to look at some aspects of how do you discover your purpose with different assessments, and so I will be going in detail as to what those are. Then we're going to be creating a purpose statement. A purpose is really why you do what you do. Some people would often describe it as your why in life, why you feel like you have to do this, your calling per se. Then you're going to create a vision statement. The vision statement is basically, where are you going? I've used the term GPS. We're all very familiar with that, because if we want to go somewhere, we put in our destination in the GPS, and the GPS breaks it down into steps, and that's how we get to where we're going. Same thing with a vision statement. You've got to know where you're going. You've got to know why you're going there. And then you've got to figure out, how am I going to get there? And that's when we're going to bring into a mission statement. When we put all three of those together and it's lit with a fire and fuel of passion and purpose, you will begin to realize that you're on your way on that path, like I have on this book, to achieve your dream. And ultimately, that is our goal, is we live to the end of our life and we are able to say, I lived a well life. And we've got to make sure we're following the path that's been set before us. And for my belief system, it's God. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story about somebody that you may all know. who was given a purpose and lived out his life. And at the end of it, he lived what God had called him to do. And then I'm going to basically show you how to put all of these together. You've got all these puzzle pieces. Myself, I'm not very good at puzzles. I do like the finished product, but I am not one who has the patience to sit down and do puzzles unless it's a smaller puzzle. But I do love when a puzzle is completed because it is a mystery when you first start out. It's interesting when you look at the box, call that your vision statement. That is the end picture of what your vision, your dream should look like. And if you follow the instructions and you put the pieces where they're supposed to go, you can't fail. And that's exciting. And then we're going to finish up with leaving legacy. Many of us have heard that term. What does it mean to leave a legacy? It really means when you pass on, people are going to remember something about you, and you want them to remember good things. Several years ago, I periodically will do this, and I actually put it in my book. And I will go through a graveyard, and I will go and look at some of the tombstones. And there is not a lot of room on those tombstones. And your typical tombstone will put the person's name, it will put the day they were born and the day they died. And in between those two is a dash. And the dash, it does not really say a lot. It is really the span of your life. It could be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 60 years. And the legacy is all about the dash. And we've got to make sure when somebody looks at our tombstone, they see that dash. They're able to tell our story. And I've said it last week, and it's going to be a model for me. Your story is God's glory. I want to take an opportunity now to look at an outline that I developed for us so that we can begin to go into detail and help each and every one of you discover your purpose. Now, this is an overview. I don't want you all to get overwhelmed. It took me several years to figure out what my purpose was, and I am determined to sit with you all to make sure that you all have a deeper understanding, because I want each and every one of you, no matter how old you are, to be able to say, I've discovered my purpose, and I know what I'm here for, and I'm here to serve, and I'm going to do it in my gifts, talents, strengths, spiritual gift that's been given to me, the personality type. And you're going to understand that when you begin to live out what God's purpose for you, you will begin to be successful in all aspects of your life, in relationships, financially. And it just is amazing when you get to a point where you are what I would call in alignment with who you were called to be. So I've got a couple different Bible verses that I wanted to share with you, because if you understand that we are all created, you can all have your different belief system. My personal belief is I believe in a creator God, and a creator God, much like a human who creates a product, creates that product with an intent and a purpose. And I don't see God being any different. He created us for a specific purpose. Often those purposes are multi-layered based on our age and what he wants us to do during that time frame in our life. When we look at the life of David, you're going to understand that David fulfilled his purpose near the end, of course. There's a Bible verse that talks about that, which we will reference shortly.
Right back with more stories and insights to help you discover your calling and live with purpose. This is On Purpose with Paul Peters on Now Media Television. I'm Paul Peters, and you're watching On Purpose with Paul Peters on Now Media Television. Let's continue the journey towards your best life.
His purpose near the end, of course, but he lived out his purpose in certain stages of his life, and it was all contingent upon his obedience to what he was called to do. It's almost as if he was told to do this, he shows up and he does it, then he moves on as if he got a promotion. And that's how God works. He communicates with us in the time that is right for us so that we will begin to move to the next stage of our life. And ultimately, it is all about living a fulfilled life. And so there's one of my favorite Bible verses that's in Jeremiah. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Now understand, God who created us, in my opinion, is outside of time. He's in the past, present, and future. So when he says he knows the plans he has for us, those plans are even before we are born. It says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with your whole heart, I will be found, declares the Lord." When we understand that God has a plan, and that plan is not to punish us, that plan is to prosper us, to give us a future, because He knows our future. The only thing that He asks of us is that we seek Him. And then we seek Him. There's another Bible verse that I love. It's actually talks about love, that we are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit. And those who have ever been in love understand that, because when you love someone that deeply, you're willing to do anything for them. And it's no different from God. It's in our devotion, in our adoration, that we begin to ask Him, Lord, what would you have me do? And I remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, for those that know the story, when Jesus was about to go to the cross, and He was about to suffer some excruciating pain. And He got to a point of surrender. He says, not my will be done, but thy will be done. And that is all that God asked, because He, being the Creator, needs to get the message of what He created us for to us as a creation. And if He gets our attention, and sometimes through those trials, and we get to a point that says, not my will be done, thy will be done, then He can begin to reveal what He's called us to do. And He's called us to do great and wonderful things. Every one of us was created, no matter how you came into this world. We've shared a story, or you'll see a story. I don't want to give it away. You'll hear a story about a Dr. Anthony Davis, who grew up in the foster care system and now is the college president of Livingston College. And so nothing is impossible for God. If we simply have enough faith and believe, and we hold on to our dream, our vision, and we walk in the direction of that vision, believing in ourselves, surrounding ourselves with people who will continue to pour into us and encourage us, anything is possible. And if we know the Creator who created us to prosper, to have a future, if we only seek Him and we listen to Him, and most importantly, we obey Him when He tells us what to do, we will succeed. And one of my favorite verses, which actually prompted me to write this book, because I begin in my own search to figure out what my purpose was. And I found this verse in Acts 13:36. It says, now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation. Let me stop for a second. David served God's purposes, not David's purposes. And the reason that is so important is because God created David. God created each of us. If David had served his purposes, if you all remember, it would be like the hammer being animated to do something it wasn't created to do. And so God knows why He created us. So David fulfilled his purpose by serving God's purpose as God revealed it to him in his generation. And then it says he fell asleep and he was buried with his ancestors. It's a very short verse, but it's a very powerful verse. And so I want to ask you, what is your purpose? That is a question we're asking. So I looked it up. I thought, what does the dictionary say about purpose? And I thought it was very interesting. The reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. And we ask ourselves, we breathe, we get up, we do all the things, and then we have to ask ourselves, why am I here? Too often we fall into ruts or doing things out of a habitual pattern because maybe that's what our parents told us to do, or that's something that we thought we could make the most money. But we need to really ask ourselves, if we want a joyful, fulfilling life, what am I created to do? And take the chance, take the risk to begin to search that out. I think about what Dr. Davis had said. You know, he had been surrounded by mentors and people who had watched over him. Even though his mother was separated from him, his grandmother had died on the day of his birth. And providentially, people were put in his life to guide and direct his steps, pour into him the importance of education. And the foundation was set for this man in the future to impact thousands of lives because of what was set as a foundation for him. And he followed his passion, he followed his purpose, and now he's living a legacy. And so it's very powerful when we understand that God has created us for a specific purpose, and as we live that out, we begin to affect and change lives around us. So how do I find my purpose or calling? That's what we're all here for. Well, let me tell you a little bit of a story about David. As some of you all may know David from child stories of David and Goliath. But It's interesting, when David first comes on the scene, it's actually out of 1 Samuel 16, if you all want to look at it. King Saul was the appointed king. He was the first king of Israel. And he was not doing what God had called him to do. And so at that time, God had called certain prophets, they were spokesmen for God, that would do God's bidding. And the prophets were assigned to the king. And so God had spoken to Samuel and said, I want you to go anoint a new king. So this is while the existing king is still on the throne. And so God says to Samuel, I want you to go to the house of Jesse, and I want you to go find the new king there. So just to give you some reference and help on understanding how that worked, typically the oldest child was the one that was determined to be anointed in whatever the capacity was going to be. So Samuel shows up at Jesse's home and he says, I would like to see your sons. And of course he brings the oldest, and God communicates to Samuel, no, that's not the one. Goes all the way down through all the children but one. And Samuel said, do you have any more sons? And he says, yes, I have one. It's David. He's a shepherd, but he's just a boy. And Samuel says, bring him to me. And then God says, he's the one. So I want you to imagine, at the age of 17, the kingdom of Israel was now a powerful nation. The king was King Saul, and a 17-year-old boy was chosen by God the Creator to be the anointed king. Now, did that happen overnight? No. There was a lot of trials, and I'll take you through some of those that David had to go through. So when we talk about how do we know our calling, how do we know our purpose, there's certain stages, phases, whatever you want to call it, that we have to go through. But the most important thing is, do we listen? Do we spend the time, and are we obedient? And some of the little bit I want to share you about David in other passages talks about David defeating a bear, David killing a lion. So when you understand a 17-year-old boy had so much strength, so much power, so much courage, primarily because his role as a shepherd was to protect the sheep. And he went into the battle with the bear and the lion, not being afraid, because he knew his role and his job was to protect the sheep. And so God gave him the strength to be able to overcome the great bear and the great lion. And when we follow our purpose, I believe that God will give you what you need, your strengths, as we're going to talk about, as he did David. And it's interesting, I read this morning that, so if you can imagine a 17-year-old boy being anointed the king, do you think the current king would like that? No, he wasn't really told, because that would create conflict. But it's interesting, because the anointing, the blessing of God had been removed from King Saul, he began to exhibit anxiety and fear and worry. And he asked for someone to be able to come and play music for him to calm his spirits. Well, guess who that was? That was David. David was also a musician. And so it's interesting how God worked, intervened in David's life to bring him into the kingdom so that he could see what was being done and how the kingdom could be ran. So I say that because often God will put us into a position in preparation for something he has planned for the future. The anointing of David basically said that you will be king someday, but didn't say when. And David had to go through a lot of different tests and trials. And the reason I'm telling you this is because often in our purpose, God has determined what he created us for, but he's got to work in and through us in our responses, so that when that ultimate day comes that we will do great and powerful and wonderful things, we have developed the character, we have fine-tuned our gifts, talents, strengths, temperament, everything that he's created us to be. We have become aligned with his will and his purposes so that he can begin to use us. And that's exactly what was occurring to David. Saul actually ended up becoming very jealous of David because, one, he was a great warrior. We know this because those who know the story of David and Goliath, David was 17 when he came to the front where the battle was waging, and there was no one in the Israelite army courageous enough. And when David came, David actually came to deliver lunch to his brothers. And he asked, what's going on? And he heard Goliath screaming and blaspheming the God of Israel. And he basically said, why is nobody going up against this guy? And they were all afraid.
Right back with more stories and insights to help you discover your calling and live with purpose. This is On Purpose with Paul Peters on Now Media Television. I'm Paul Peters, and you're watching On Purpose with Paul Peters on Now Media Television. Let's continue the journey towards your best life.
Your purpose is in direct alignment with what draws energy from you. And so when you know your unique ability, and like I said, you simply write out everything that you do in a week, everything you do in a day, and then you want to begin to categorize. You can star it, you can put a number next to it. This is something that lights my fire. This is something that I love to do. For me, I have a ritual I do every morning, and those are the things that I love to do because I want to make sure that I'm preparing my day with high energy, high passion. And so I try not to miss anything. That's very important. That's one of my unique abilities. And out of that flows my ability to serve in God's purpose and helping other people. So the other thing is I talked to you about what knowing your ikigai is. And so it's a term that I just recently learned, and it really measures four things. It says, do what you love, which would be your passion. Do what you're good at, that would be your natural gifts and abilities. Do what the world needs, because if you have a certain gift, talent, and strength, and then you are serving other people, that is a need that you have, need that others have that you are providing for them. And do what can be rewarded for. I tell people that if you do what you love, the money will follow. Sometimes you've heard the term, and this is hard for some people, I would do this and I wouldn't even want to get paid. And there is some truth to that. You just love doing it. It's great to get paid because you have certain responsibilities, but I'm one of those individuals, and I've talked about this, that if you do what you love, you can monetize that. And I'm telling you, if you monetize it, it will be a greater reward and then maybe a job you went to college for and studied that didn't have passion for you. Because when you have that certain passion to do what you love, certain aspects of your creativity, certain aspects of your mind come alive, and you're able to do things and come up with ideas that are going to be money producing, especially when it's linked to service to other people. And so when you're doing those things, you are in your ikigai. So we will go into greater details. I'm just giving you an overview of certain steps, puzzle pieces on the path to your ultimate vision, your ultimate dream, your ultimate goal. So as I said before, you want to look at how you're spending your time and identify what lights your fire. And that takes us into what would be called the genius zone. There's an author, Guy Hendricks, that talks about the genius zone. And there's four areas within the zone. There is a zone of incompetence. Those are things that you do, but you're not really good at. There's a zone of competence, which is certain things that you're good at and you'll do them, but they don't fuel your fire. There's a zone of excellence. This would probably be in line with your natural gifts and talents. And then there's a zone of genius. That is the level that we really want to strive for. That is when your creativity comes alive. That is when you are in the ultimate zone. You've heard the term, I'm in the zone. I would like example, Simone Biles, the gymnast, she's in her genius zone, or Michael Jordan, he's in his genius zone. There's so many other people I could use. When you're in your genius zone, you are performing at the highest level and you absolutely love it and you're being rewarded for it. So when you're in your zone of genius, you are in your ikigai. Other things we're going to talk about in regards to understanding your personality. So personality is actually formed and created in different ways. Some of it is genetic. Some of it is circumstances, your upbringing, different things. And so we're going to look at two different assessments. We'll go into great detail. It would be your color code personality assessment and then your true colors personality assessment. The other thing that we're going to look at is how do you identify your strengths? So each of these things we're going to go over, I'm going to give you either an assessment or a link so that you can go ahead and take the assessment. And then as we begin to look at each of the puzzle pieces, because right now that's what they are. They're puzzle pieces that I'm separating out for you so that you can begin when we get to the ending and how we're putting it together. We're going to put these puzzle pieces together and you're going to discover people that are in your life and how different they are. Don't be afraid of that. Differences are great. Differences are what makes us unique. And we've got to remember to appreciate people's differences. And sometimes the reactions we get from other people is because they're different. And if we don't understand that differences are amazing parts of that person, because people are going to look at us because we're different. And that could be different in skin color, that could be different in personality, that could be different in tone of voice, it could be different in so many different aspects. And what we are looking for is we understand each other's differences, a sense of appreciation. And one of the things I'm going to take, kind of go off track here a little bit, I remember when I was struggling, this was right around the time that I wanted to commit suicide. I'd struggled because I was battling unforgiveness. I was battling anger, resentment with my dad. And I heard a minister speak about a particular passage in scripture about how bitterness and anger and resentment tie you to that person. And it was very important that I took a look at what I was feeling. And at this point, my dad has already been dead. So I was angry, resentful, bitter at somebody. He couldn't feel it. He couldn't experience. I hadn't seen him since I was a child. So the only one I was hurting was myself. And when I understood that, I took a deeper look at what kind of life did my father have. And when I got to get a picture of what his life was like, being abused, being neglected, being raised in an alcoholic home, I had developed something that I didn't think I was able to gonna have for my father, and that was compassion, mercy. And because of that, I was able to let go of the fear, let go of the anger, and I was able to forgive him. And so when we are able to forgive those things and move past the past, we can begin to embrace who we are. Because what ends up happening, and people who hurt us or offend us, often we create resentment based on our perception, and that resentment creates division within that person. And when there's division, there's not going to be harmony. There's not going to be love. Well, God's desire is that we have love for everyone. And so I know that's not easy. There are certain people that are hard to love, and those people who are hard to love are that way simply because they have been hurt. And until we take a deeper understanding, come alongside them to understand their pain, and in some respects embrace their pain, as long as we're safe, so that they can feel loved again. Because a lot of times people who are coming across as unloving, it's because they don't feel loved and they're reacting out of their harshness. And if we have the kind of love that will break down those barriers, we will heal our families, we will heal our communities, and we will begin to be a positive impact on those around us. And ultimately that is our desire, because hate just breeds more hate, love breeds more love. And so when we understand that and we get a deeper understanding of strengths and limitations or differences, and we begin to appreciate them, we can grow as a human being. Then we're also going to look at what I call another aspect of temperament. It's called the animal temperament. That's a fun one. So I'm looking forward to doing that with y'all. We talked about love language. As we understand people's love language, we understand how they are to be loved. Me, I'm a hugger, and so my love language is physical touch. But you have a different aspect. So there's people who like affirmation, gifts, acts of service. We will go into great deal with that. Then you also have the personality type. So some of you may have taken the Myers-Briggs, and basically it separates it out between an extrovert versus an introvert, a thinker versus a feeler, sensor versus intuitive, and judge and perceiver. We are going to go into great detail what that means and how you relate to other people. And so you'll have a deeper understanding, not only for who you are, how you're created, but how you then relate to somebody else, because someone who is an extrovert is much different than someone who's an introvert. Someone who's a thinker is much different than a feeler. I'm a feeler, so. And then what's your personality style? We're going to look at what your area you are on a genius assessment. That's basically how and where do you fit on a team. So I'm excited about that one, because a lot of time in business or even in families, you have a mismatch because you're having somebody who's very creative do something that they're not really high energy for, that it just kind of drains them. Then we're going to look at your Colby. And I will go into great detail with all of you about this, so no fears. Then we're going to look at your print. We're going to do a print assessment, what your motivators are. Then we're going to look at your DISC, which is another format of personality. Then we are going to look at your human design, your primary element. Are you fire, water, earth, or water, or metallic? So you'll understand that. We're going to look at your Enneagram, which is somewhat of a personality type. We're going to look at your right fit, your core values, your primary character values, your spiritual gift. Then we're going to break it all down, create a mission statement, a vision statement, a purpose statement, and then what we're going to do is we're going to put it all together. That's where it's going to be fun. So we are going to take the puzzle pieces, all of these different assessments, we're going to go into each detail on one show at a time so you have a deeper understanding. We'll have opportunities to have discussion. I will have interviews throughout so you can see all of this played out because I think it's important you see how other people have discovered it. My desire is to have some of these people who created these assessments that I can interview them to have a deeper understanding and explain exactly what they created them for. Because remember, if you understand the purpose of something, you understand how to use it and apply it in your life. And that's one of my ultimate goals. I want everyone to have become masters of who they are, masters of who they're created to be, so that they can go out and be masterful and impact and change the world. And then once we put it all together, no matter what your age is, I want you to begin to understand and begin to develop your legacy, because you are the one who controls the outcome of your life. And if it's surrendered to God, and ultimately we know that God's desire is to prosper us and to give us a future, then that future is going to be grand. So thank you